Swain in a couple of minutes, today's early music show. But now at 1 o'clock, a summary of the news. The Chief Constable of Northern Ireland, Matt Baggett, has condemned what he called the mindless anarchy in which 56 officers were injured in Belfast last night. The trouble broke out when loyalist protesters tried to block the planned route of a Republican parade. Bricks and fireworks were thrown at officers, and they were attacked with scaffolding poles and paving stones ripped from the city's main shopping streets. Mr. Baggett said there should be universal condemnation of the violence and no excuses made for the disgraceful scenes. The Shadow Health Secretary Andy Burnham has said Labour is running out of time to mount a real challenge to the coalition parties at the next election. In an interview in The Guardian, he said the party had until next spring to spell out its ideas clearly and capture how people are feeling and thinking. Mr. Burnham insisted he was not criticising Ed Miliband's leadership. Spanish and French police say they've broken up a ring which had been smuggling Chinese migrants into Europe and the United States. 75 people have been arrested and more than 80 fake passports seized. An 11-year-old boy has died after being hit by a tractor trailer at a visitor farm near Leeds. A 48-year-old man arrested on suspicion of drink driving and causing death by dangerous driving has been released on bail. The bodies of six migrants have been found on a beach near Catania in Sicily after a fishing boat carrying around 120 people ran aground. It's thought they drowned trying to swim around 50 feet to the shore. The remaining passengers, who thought to be mainly Syrian, were rescued. Cricket and England have taken early wickets on the second day of the fourth Ashes test, after losing their final wicket in the opening minutes without adding to their overnight total of 238. A few moments ago, Australia were on 71 for 3. And the weather, it'll be a dry afternoon across most of the UK with some sunny spells. There'll be scattered showers across Scotland and Northern Ireland, which could spread to western areas of England and Wales. Well, that's the news and the weather with time 2.5 minutes past one. And now on Radio 3, the early music show, which features music specially recorded for the programme by the BBC Singers, conducted by Peter Phillips. The presenter is Lucy Skeeping.
We're going to hear some absolutely gorgeous sacred music today. Three works, all from the Renaissance, and all by composers who were born in the Franco-Flemish lands, more or less the area that's now modern Belgium. The centrepiece of the programme is a mass by Cipriano de Rore, who was born around 1515 in a small town in Flanders. But like so many gifted musicians, he soon found his way to Italy, where he spent the rest of his life steeped in the fertile and forward-thinking musical worlds of Venice and Ferrara. And to follow that, we have a work by Orlandus Lassus, also from the Low Countries and a little younger than de Rore, his setting of the Magnificat. Apart from their place of birth, though, what links these two composers together here is that they both took their inspiration from another work, a Christmas motet written some half a century earlier by the Flemish-born musician Josquin des Prez. I'm going to be talking to the conductor, Peter Phillips. He's performed and recorded a huge amount of Renaissance choral music over the years with his group, the Talis Scholars. But he's also a frequent guest conductor of the BBC Singers. And it's them we'll be hearing all through today's programme. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, we're going to hear you conducting the BBC Singers. What should we listen out for?
Well, this motet by Josquin was one of the most influential pieces of the whole period. All kinds of composers went back to it, including Palestrina, Villart, all the great names. They really wanted to know how Josquin, how his mind worked and how he used his material so well, so tellingly. The opening of the Josquin is probably the most famous passage, where the basses are in low thirds. They're just going along. There's a chant on top. The texture and the atmosphere and the mood of sort of mystery and almost adoration right at the start is just astonishing. You can cut it with a knife. It's fantastic.
The motet Praeter Rerum Serium by Josquin. Beyond the order of this world, the Virgin Mother bore God in human form by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pray.
Praeter Rerum Serium by Josquin, sung there by the BBC Singers, conducted by Peter Phillips. Now, we were talking about the fact that the two works we're going to hear in a moment use some of the material from Josquin's original motet. Can you tell us how this works? Is this a common thing we find in this period?
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's called parodying. You parody a master's work that you really admire, so you take his material and rework it in your own style. This might sound as though it's sort of a cheating method.
Yeah, it does sound a bit derogatory.
No, it was considered to be really a flattery, and that's also how you learnt your trade, actually. You took the work of a master and sort of got inside it to understand how it was made.
Now, all three composers, including Josquin, who wrote the original motet, in this programme, come from the Low Countries, or the sort of Netherlands area. It's in a region that produced an awful lot of important musicians, especially in the early Renaissance. Obviously, the centre kind of moved to Italy eventually, but why do you think the Netherlands was so sort of rich?
Well, because it was rich.
Financially?
Yeah, financially rich. And, of course, it produced a wonderful school of painters as well, and tapestries. They had everything. They were very high culture, it was, for a good 200 years, actually. Italy came in quite late on the scene.
The longest of the two parodies we're going to hear for the rest of the programme is the Mass by Cipriano de Rore, which we're going to hear in a moment. Can you describe in what ways it is similar to Josquin's motet? I mean, are there specific things we should listen out for?
Well, it's a wonderful reworking of a very, very great piece. I mean, the Josquin is an absolutely top masterpiece, in my opinion, especially that opening with the two bass parts sort of rumbling around each other in an almost Marlerian texture, I think. And Rory loved this, and you can hear it at the beginning of every movement. It's a kind of starting point for every single movement. He keeps those basses right down there, close, and producing that wonderful texture. He took the voice ranges more or less of the Josquin, but added a seventh voice part, which is particularly interesting. It's a kind of long note chant part, quasi-chant possibly, maybe not genuine. And he added the words Hercules Secundus, Dux Ferrariae Quartus, Vivit et Vivet. So Rory wrote a mass using Josquin's material, which is straightforwardly in praise of his employer, Ercole d'Este, fourth Duke of Ferrara.
Now, would Rory have sat down kind of with the score and sort of conscientiously made his own arrangement, maybe picking out bits he liked? I mean, how would he actually have approached this in practice?
Well, everyone would love to know how these guys wrote anything down and how they were thinking. He must have done something like that, because it's a really thorough working over of the Josquin. I mean, he takes little things, he takes big things, and he reworks them again against each other whilst adding this extra part. I mean, it's a clever piece of work.
Does it sound more modern, if I can use that word, than the original Josquin? I mean, it's 50 years later. Is there a sense that it's got a more modern style?
Not really. It's well in the Flemish tradition, and that tradition was already very long. I mean, hundreds of years. But there's a strong sense of tradition here. The only thing I could say is that there are two soprano parts instead of one. Josquin, his generation, favoured lower voices because of the way presumably the choirs were constituted, whereas by Rora's time there were more top parts around, whoever sang it, and in this mass there are two soprano parts throughout. Each movement starts with this Josquin material that I mentioned. The Kyrie starts low, so you are actually getting the old texture that was more common in the early 16th century. The chant part you'll miss almost certainly unless you're hearing right into the texture, because these extra words about Hercules are in the alto part. So it's going to be this chant part's going to be surrounded by this glorious polyphony. And when the sopranos come in, the whole thing becomes, as I say, more modern.
Thank you.
Missa Praeter Rerum Serium by Cipriano de Rore, the BBC Singers, conducted by Peter Phillips, who's with me in the studio. Now, Peter, as you explained earlier, that's known as a parody mass in that it sort of takes inspiration, in fact, material, from another piece, a motet by Josquin that was written some 50 years earlier. And the next work we're going to hear to take us to the end of today's programme is also what you might call a parody. Tell us what it is and, again, what way it relates to Josquin's original.
This is a Magnificat by Lassus, closely based on the Josquin original. But I think you'll find that Lassus is a little bit lighter of touch with some of the counterpoints. He starts with Josquin very clearly and then goes into his own world using the motifs, but they're shorter and there's no chant part here, so it's going to sound a bit more modern.
It seems to me that Josquin was a very, very popular composer. Many composers of the next generation sort of turned to him for guidance, if you like.
Josquin was the superstar of his era, and the definition of that is that he travelled. He was employed at all the top places, Rome, Ferrara, and his music went with him. But I suspect the really impressive thing about him was him, meeting him, talking to him. And he shaped the attitudes and abilities of a whole generation to follow. Josquin's pupils are a sort of legion of great composers, either directly or indirectly through studying his music. And he was the most famous and the most admired composer of that period. And they all wanted a slice of him. And the way they did it was either to go to him or to take his music, as Lassus does here, and break it down and reuse the material in their own style.
So this is a Magnificat, and it has obviously a set and traditional structure. Tell us the kind of thing we're going to hear.
Well, there are 12 verses in a Magnificat, including the Gloria Patri. You start normally with polyphony. There was a little bit of chant just to introduce, and then there's polyphony. Then every other verse will be polyphony, and every other verse chant, and that's the way you go through. So the polyphonic sections are quite short, and that meant that Lassus had to look at the Josquin pretty closely and use the material briefly, which is what he does very, very effectively, I must say.
Peter Phillips, thank you very much.
Magnificat anima mea Domino, et exulta in sanctus meus, Jesus meus,
Thank you.
setting of the Magnificat by Lassus, based on the motet Praeter Rerum Seriem by Josquin. And it was recorded for today's Early Music Show by the BBC Singers, conducted by Peter Phillips. Earlier on in the programme, the soloists who featured in the mass setting by Cipriano de Rore were the tenor Edward Goethe and bass Adrian Peacock. Peter Phillips was talking to the presenter Lucy Skeeping, and the producer was Helen Garrison. This weekend at the BBC Proms and here on BBC Radio 3, the first ever free prom.
Sunday night at the 2013 BBC Proms and Beethoven's boundary-breaking choral symphony. Youth choirs from the UK and Ireland join the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain with principal conductor Vasily Petrenko. Sunday night at the BBC Proms from 7:30.
BBC Radio 3, it's a minute past two and time now for another chance to hear the second of this year's Proms Chamber Music Concerts, which took place last Monday lunchtime. It's introduced by Petroc Trelawney.
Welcome back to Cadogan Hall, home of chamber music at the BBC Proms. Today, Kurt Weill's Threepenny Opera, Bizet's Carmen, and a new work from Diana Burrell, played by the all-female Norwegian brass ensemble Tenting, led by the fantastic trumpeter Tina Ting-Helset. We start with music by Norway's most famous son, Edvard Grieg, to play from his Holberg suite. Please welcome to the Proms, Tenting!
Thank you very, very, very much. And, well, Petroc has already said welcome, but we also want to say welcome and thank you so much for coming to this concert. We are extremely excited to be here at the Proms, and we've been looking forward to this for a very, very long time. Now, we started with some Norwegian music, Edvard Grieg, and we did the Preludium from the Holberg Suite. We're going to continue with music by him. We are going to play music that's originally for piano. We're going to play three lyrical pieces. First, you will hear a dance called Bestemors Menuett, or Grandmother's Menuett. And here, Karin plays the role as our grandmother. Then we are going to play a lullaby so that our baby can fall asleep. It's called Jendines Bodnlott, or Jendines Lullaby. The last piece is called Trolltog, and then you will get a visit from the Norwegian trolls. Thank you.
The March of the Dwarfs from Grieg's lyric pieces. 100 foot of brass tubing on stage today. 3 trumpets, French horns, flugelhorn, 3 trombones, bass trombone and tuba. And rather in the spirit of what are the BBC proms, plenty of promenading as well as the performers move around the stage and reflect the sounds on the different surfaces here. Tina, how did it all come into being, Tenting?
Well, actually, it's kind of a coincidence thing. I mean, it was me and the other three trumpet girls. We were sitting in a Christmas concert where we studied together, and we were listening to the string ensemble, and we were thinking, oh, we just really want to play in an ensemble that play that kind of music. That was kind of our main idea. And since we were only girls, then why not ask only girls? And
you decided to keep it that way.
It's just our little gimmick. It's just for fun, kind of. But now we love it a little bit, yeah.
And it is important, I think, that you don't do it all the time. You come together sort of half a dozen times a year.
We do. I mean, we have different... I mean, someone plays in orchestras, you know, teaches and stuff. So we have, like, 4 projects a year when we meet up. And we call it a holiday, but, of course, we play all the time. So it's... But it's just really nice to come together, and we're really good friends, so it's a lot of chatting as well, yeah.
Well, we'll let you join your friends, because we're going to hear next the world premiere of a piece commissioned for the BBC Proms, and I'm delighted to welcome to the stage its composer, Diana Burrell. Diana, you've called this piece Blaze, and it has a certain fiery energy about
Blaze.
It.
Blaze. Well, it sort of goes with the instruments, I think, you know, the bright, bronzy, brassy sort of look of the instruments. But it also seemed to be right with the kind of bright...